Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your blessings, Lord. We want to thank you for your love and your mercy. We want to thank you for the mothers that are in our lives. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the mothers that portray your attributes, for the mothers that cherish and love their children, and that have taught them the ways of the Lord. Mothers that dedicated their children to you, Lord. Mothers that loved you and taught their children and us to love you as well. Heavenly Father, be with us even this afternoon as we meditate on your word and your message, and pray, Lord, that we may apply it to our lives, and that all that we do and say would be to your honor and to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm very thankful for this song. And I'm going to read the words, and I want you to kind of keep that in the back of your mind as we ponder on God's word, a specific character in the Bible that, with the help of the Lord, we will meditate on. O Jesus Christ, life giver, my comfort in all need. I want you to keep that, hold on to that. Myself to thee I offer in life and death indeed. I would be only thine, O Lord, my soul's redeemer, and thou art ever mine. So as I was thinking about, or as asking the Lord to lay on my heart or to speak to me on the message this afternoon, he directed my thoughts to a woman in the scripture who bore a child that would become one of Israel's greatest leaders. And as I was studying this chapter, I thought it was very fitting because if you notice the past couple of sermons, I've been talking about attitude. So I want you to kind of think of that also. And how last weekend, I believe it was last weekend, Brother Tim talked and he was carrying out his sermons on character. And then this morning, Brother Gary had the message on the mothers and their character as well. But I'd like to ask a question before we get into this portion of Scripture, because this portion of Scripture has kind of a little bit of a twist to it. Do you remember a time when someone had something better than you? Or someone was more talented than you were? Or maybe at work got a promotion or got better grades, or and then that person would constantly remind you of it and use it to put you down so that they would look better than you. How did that make you feel? And if you haven't experienced that, and if you would just take a moment and say, okay, if I haven't experienced that, what would that really look like? So with the help of the Lord this afternoon, turn with me to the first book of Samuel, the first chapter. And we're going to read about a mother named Hannah. And with the Lord's help, I'd like to read the whole chapter. Now there was a certain man of Ramathan, Zophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanai, the son of Jerome, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of the city yearly to worship and sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why hast thou heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, the priest, sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in the bitterness of her soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the afflicted of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, when she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought that she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah said unto, and Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hereto. Then Eliah answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. They rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer up to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth good to thee. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word, so that the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. And they slew the bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thou hast liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. If we look at the character of Hannah, and we can look at the character of Peninnah, Hannah had two conflicts. First, there was an internal struggle, a conflict that she had within, one that she could not have children. And this was a struggle for her. And we know that because she went up and she prayed that the Lord would give her a child. However, her womb was shut up. This was her burden. This was her struggle. This was very deep for her. You see, back in those days, if you were a woman and you had a child, there was also represented some status. As we can see, the other handmaid, which is the second struggle, which is from without. At that time, polygamy was something that was kind of the norm. There were two wives. Perhaps there was a level of competition between the two. I mean, she shared the husband with Peninnah. But Penna used that against her. She wanted to have the one up on her. This was that status. This was the question that I asked. Have you ever been in a situation there was somebody that felt they had one up on you? Penna was very fertile. And she used this to antagonize Hannah year after year. She brought disharmony to the household by mocking her. Yet instead of responding to her tormentor, Hannah kept her mouth shut. And we see this character of Hannah. She wasn't one to retaliate. She wasn't one to talk back. But what she did was she laid it at the feet of God, at the feet of Jesus. Though Hannah was barren, there was no doubt that she was loved by Elkanah. Elkanah, Scripture tells us, he loved her. He loved Hannah. And he would do anything for her. But he saw that this one time when they were up in the temple, how grieved she was. And when they were up in the temple and she gave her prayer to the Lord, when she poured out her heart, and Elijah is watching her as she is praying. And Elijah's saying, "Woman, you're drunk. Get out of the temple." And her respect for Eli, her demonstration of grace and humility through her words, where she says, "Don't regard your servant as a worthless woman. Don't look at me as somebody that's worthless." In a different portion, a different Bible, it says, "I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." That gives us the idea of just how much of a burden this was for Hannah. And when Hannah prayed, her prayer was focused, and it was fervent. And when she gave her prayer, she gave this prayer that if she would have this child, she made the promise that she was going to give this child back up to the Lord. Give this child back up to God. And it was so. If we read that when she, if you caught this, when she told Elijah in verse 16, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken hitherto. And then Eli responds and says, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou askest of him." Knowing that Eli was a prophet, he was a man of God. And this was the words of comfort that she needed. Because the following verse, and she said, "Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight." So the woman went her way, did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. She had this faith that God heard her prayers. And the confirmation was through Eli. And as she went, when they went back, she conceived the child, and this promise came to pass. And we see her dedication. We see that she was a woman of her word. When her child, when it was time for Eli to go back up and to offer the sacrifices in the temple, she says, "I'm not going yet. My time is not yet." She wouldn't go until Samuel was weaned. And when Samuel was weaned, she went up and she left her son there. How many of mothers would do that, would give up their child, one that they wanted so much, one that they prayed so hard for, and only to see him but once a year. And the prayer after prayer of a mother. Mothers, you think about your children, each one of them, one by one. And I know that every one of them that you're praying for and still are praying for them. You see, because as Hannah said, for this child I prayed. Every mother prays for their child, for every single one of them. You see, God didn't just honor Eli's blessings for that first time. God continued to answer the prayers of Hannah. In the following chapter, we read that Hannah had more children. She had three more sons and two daughters. As I was doing some studies on this, and I read that Peninnah actually had close to 10 children. And there was a study that said that for every one child that Hannah had, Peninnah lost two. Until she got to her last two children and realized that it was God's hand that was upon her and that what she did was wrong. And until she went and repented and asked for forgiveness, did the other two survive. Hannah tells us a lot about her as a person, her humility, her passion. We can understand her trials, and we can also rejoice in her triumphs. And just maybe we can learn something about her, about ourselves and our own lives as we study this chapter. You see, prayer is a powerful tool. There's nothing like the power, the influence of the prayers of a godly mother. So mothers, don't give up on praying. Keep praying. And as I was going through this lesson and as I was studying this chapter, this event that had taken place, and I think if Hannah had this Zion's harp, that she would be singing 312. O Jesus, Christ, life giver, my comfort in all need, myself to thee I offer in life and death indeed. I would be only thine, O Lord, my soul's redeemer, and ever art thou mine. Are you burdened and struggling today? Have you prayed and prayed, yet it seems there's no answer? Are you on the verge of giving up? I want to encourage you to keep bringing your prayers before the Lord. Only He knows, and He sees, and He cares. Come before Him and leave your burdens there. You may not get the answer you desired immediately, but you can receive peace. The peace that you need to press on for another day, another time. And as we walk by faith, we may have to endure extended lessons. Sometimes our seasons may be long, but let's wait on the Lord to answer our prayers and move in our situation. If we remain faithful, God will answer in His time according to His sovereign will. So as we consider this mother, and I'm sure there are many mothers, that are very, very much similar to Hannah. We encourage the mothers, we support the mothers, and we uplift them. And encourage the mothers to keep praying for their children. In verse 5 of that 3:12, it says, "Thou art my life giver, my light in darkness, not darkest night. I make thee, Lord, my treasure with all my heart and might. And soon in peaceful places, now amidst all earthly strife, and soon in peaceful places of everlasting life." May God bless his word.